So now, you're from Wales, and the harp is sort of the national instrument of Wales. How did you first get interested in playing the harp?
Well, I started playing when I was about 10 years of age, and it was due to the fact that I saw a harpist perform, and she just showed me actually a little glissando, which is just running your fingers across the strings. And it was such a majestic sound and gorgeous sound to listen to. And I think I was so small at the time looking up at this big instrument, it just really it just made my world completely complete, you know, because just seeing it was one thing, but hearing its sound was something else. And I think from that moment I just fell in love with it and knew that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a musician and a harpist. So yeah, that was when the dream was planted.
Well, I can see a lot of young children looking at the harp like a fantastic toy. You mentioned, you know, the thunder and running your fingers along the strings. But you must have had some kind of musical sense to you already, even at that age. Were you born into a musical family, or were you exposed to it before that?
I was fortunate that all of my mum's side have all become professionals in music, whether they're teachers or performers, and so music was always around me. And I think it was my grandmother actually that first suggested I should have some piano lessons during my sort of primary school years. And so really it started from the household and it grew. And you know, my dream then was really to get to London and to study with some of the top people that we have in our country in the UK. And that's what I did. I went to the Royal College of Music when I was 18 years of age, and I studied there. And then I went and did my master's degree in the Royal Academy of Music after that. And so it was at that point really things got very serious, of course, and you start to really think about what you want to do with your life. And I saw a very special position actually that the Prince of Wales holds, and it's called the Official Harpist to His Royal Highness the Prince of Wales. And that position, that royal appointment, is only for a harpist. There's no other instrument that he appoints, or any of the other members of the royal family. So it's a very special, unique thing. And I decided that was my dream. As soon as it was revived, the position, in 2000, I decided that was my goal, and I wanted to become the royal harpist. And luckily enough, 3 years later, after he'd revived the position, I got the call, and I got the chance to audition for it, and to audition privately for Prince Charles as well, where he stood like about 2 feet away from the harp. So no pressure at all. And I got to be the next royal harpist. So that was in the year 2007, and it was until 2011.
That's wonderful, though. You were just in your young 20s at the time, right? Maybe 21, 22 years of age?
I was, yeah, 21.
Now, you've also played for the royal family, and of course you became famous when you played for the wedding of the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge. But I'm reading here that you've played at over 180 royal engagements, including private recitals for the Queen. Can you describe that experience for us, a private recital for the Queen?
Absolutely. It was one of those times in your life where you just think to yourself, I really know I will never get this opportunity ever again. This is a once in a lifetime chance, really. And when I was appointed as the official harpist, I knew there would be royal engagements, and I knew I'd be performing for Prince Charles. And often I had to do, you know, sort of dinners and present recitals, as it were, in his engagements. And so I would literally have to present a short recital for all his guests, whether it was 10 people or whether it was 500 people in any of the palaces across the country. But there were those moments where people like Her Majesty the Queen would ask if I could play at a few of her things as well. And so I was fortunate on two occasions where I could play for her, and she actually asked for it to be one-to-one. And so I remember in the Royal Academy of Music, where I was studying at the time, Her Majesty the Queen walks into the room and I shake her hand, and she's very gracious and lovely. Italy, and she actually knew I'd be performing for Prince Charles the night before, which was quite comical. I thought I was very, very giggly about that, and it was so nice to think that she knew that. And she just literally listened to me play a short piece, and then just chatted to me about how the position had helped me and so far, and how my career was going, and about my harp and things. So it was such a lovely occasion, and I also got to have tea with her on a separate occasion in Buckingham Palace, and you know, all these things kind of became normal for me, which was weird really to say that now, because I was going into the palaces 2 to 3 times a month, and in many occasions, you know, I was meeting the royal family on a regular basis. They knew me well, and I remember on one occasion
you just walked up to the door and said, "Oh, it's Claire," and they just let you walk in.
It was kind of a bit like that. Yeah, I did have my own pass, my own way of getting around, and got to know them, and I saw them behind the scenes as well. There were many times where I had to play for Prince Charles in his country home in Wales. He has a country home called Llanwermod, and it's a very special place. And that was like being at anybody's country home, really, where he'd come up to me and ask if I was okay, and if I was, you know, enjoying the position, had anybody looked after me, you know, all these things that, you know, somebody would ask you if they were hosting anything, you know. So all these memories are very, very special, and they come flooding back. And they're things I probably took for granted at the time, but now I remember, you know, they're very, very special to me, really.
Now, your latest recording is called Royal Harp Strings, certainly an appropriate title for your CD. And this is some music that you've released before in a couple of other albums, but I'm wondering if you can tell us a little bit about what's on this recording and how you chose these particular pieces from the other two recordings?
Indeed, this is a really special recording. Firstly, it's my first release in the US, so that for that reason as well, that is a really, really special moment for me in my career. And also, on the music on this album actually incorporates so many bits of my life that have happened to me so far. The first thing, of course, as you mentioned earlier, I played at the royal wedding for Prince William and Catherine Middleton, and in order for me to play at that wedding, Kate actually took away my albums and listed exactly what she wanted me to play at the wedding in Buckingham Palace. I was on a stage, also I was in between the main wedding cake and the chocolate cake, so I was in prime position. But she chose exactly what she wanted, and Poem is one of the pieces on the album, Royal Harp Strings, which she chose for me to play. So that's one special track. There's a few others that mean a lot to me as well. For example, there's a piece called Bluestone, which Chris Marshall, my husband, actually composed, and it's about the Preseli Mountains in the southwest of Wales, where I was born. And they're very, very special. They're a collection of stones that were used in Stonehenge in the UK, and they have very mystical healing qualities, and they're just very relaxing, you know, sights to see in the mountains. And so that one's a very special one as well on there. And there are quite a few well-known pieces as well, like Ladies in Lavender from the film Ladies in Lavender, and Scarborough Fair, which is a traditional piece here in the UK, but it's actually had its stamp changed, actually, because Chris, my husband, has done an arrangement of it, so it's made it very, very different and unique. Glasgow Love Theme from the film, and All Through the Night, which is a beautiful Welsh traditional tune, which has again been changed, and some other upbeat songs as well, like Toss of Feathers, which is an Irish jig. And so it's just a lovely piece to play. I was actually in New York on St. Patrick's Day, so I got to play that piece there during the festivities, you know. So there's pieces there to suit everyone, and whether you want something to relax to or whether you want something to kind of, you know, keep you upbeat and in the mood, then it's the album for you, because it just has a bit of everything. And of course, I've thrown in Downton Abbey, which I know is a big favourite in the US, and that's lovely to listen to. I've actually played at Highclere Castle, which is Downton Abbey here in the UK, so it's a very special place. Thank you.
So were you a fan of the show? Did you watch it?
I was a massive fan of the show, and I was so lucky. I got to do like a photo shoot there very recently, actually, with a company called Clogai, who are a Welsh jewellery company I'm an ambassador for. And they did the royal wedding rings as well. And so I was lucky through them, I got to do a photo shoot there. So there's a picture online. You can see it on my website and in different places on Twitter and Facebook and things, that you can see me with my harp in next to the library of Downton Abbey. So, so yeah, it's kind of quite a special place, isn't it?
Well, you mentioned your husband, Chris Marshall. Now, the two of you met in school, did you not?
We met when I was in college. Yes, we did. We did.
And he's done most of the arrangements on this particular recording, including that piece, Heartstrings, which I guess was also a present from him when you
Absolutely.
Were engaged.
You're right. You're right. Yes. We've been together 7 years. And when we got engaged, I was on tour at the time. It was just after the royal wedding, actually, in 2011. Chris came with me to Brazil. I was touring there. And he took me to the top of the Christ statue and unknown to me, he'd planned to propose. So it was very romantic and a gorgeous place. You could see the whole spectacular views of Rio, and so yes, of course I accepted, and he said to me as well, he had a little present for me called Heartstrings, which was a piece for solo harp and strings, which, by the way, most of my albums we do love the sound of the string accompaniment to it. It's such a luscious sound and gorgeous sound, and so it was this special piece, and it really became a signature piece. So that's a reason why it's on the album as well, because obviously it means a lot to me personally that he wrote it to mark our engagement. And we've been married quite a few years now, and so we tend to work together as a team, really, as composer and harpist, as arranger and harpist, but also he's a percussionist, and so we've also done a lot of concerts in America where we have done, you know, the percussion and harp duet, which you would totally not expect that would work, but it actually does. So yeah, we have an interesting combination.
About your harp. I'm curious about the actual instrument that you play. Have you gone through many different harps in your career, or have you
sort of
settled on one?
I have. I think you do go through that sort of stage of trying different instruments, and I'm actually on my third harp now, and this is really the ultimate one for me. I've fallen in love with it. The sound is very, very mellow and full and warm, and I use it for my recordings and performances when I can, of course. And it's just one of those things. It's like driving a car, really. You've got to be really happy with it, and you've got to sort of, if it's the difference also between, you know, a Mini and a Rolls Royce, really. You know, it's kind of, you know, you can pick different levels of harps, of course, but I'm lucky that I've managed to have, you know, a gorgeous gold harp, as you can see on the cover of the new album, and it's really striking as well. When people see it on stage underneath the lights, people just absolutely melt, and they say how gorgeous it looks, and you know, I think that's a wonderful thing about the harp. Visually, it's a feast to see, and also, you know, in terms of sound, it's one of the most soothing sounds you'll ever hear, and it can be very, very modern and contemporary as well in terms of the music that I play, and that's why I record quite contemporary, you know, film and well-known themes from the classical world, really.
Well, the harp is, you know, a beautiful instrument to look at, and glamorous, and it sounds so lovely. I think a lot of people don't necessarily realize what a challenge it might be just to travel with that thing all over the world and to take
Absolutely.
Care of it. I read a fun little article on Classic FM about the 10 worst things about playing the harp. from you.
Indeed. Oh, you've read that one. I helped them with that one. Yeah, the 10 worst things about playing the harp, even though, you know, there's not too many, you know, bad things, of course. But of course, you've got the challenges of transporting it. Yeah, I mean, I have a very large car, an estate car. And of course, tuning is another thing that people might not realize. It takes time. There's 47 strings and there's 7 pedals on the base of the harp in order for me to be able to play all the notes the piano can play. So for those 47 strings, when I was young, I'd start out tuning. It would take, you know, a good 20 minutes to tune. But now I'm able to do it in a good sort of 5 to 7 minutes, you know, a quick sort of tune up and down the harp. But you get faster at it as you get older, obviously. But I've got to say, the pros outweigh the negatives, because it really has taken me to so many places I would never ever have thought. You know, even random things like, you know, we have big sort of rugby games here in the UK. The Welsh love their rugby, you know, as you can imagine. And so I've performed for 75,000 on the pitch of the stadium here in this country, in Cardiff. And, you know, to then performing one-to-one for the Queen, you know, so it's completely taken me on a really big journey, and that's really amazing.
Can you tell us about your struggle with chronic fatigue syndrome? Because I know you've said you want this album to help raise awareness of that illness, and it's not something that's on a lot of people's radar, except unless they've experienced it or known somebody who has experienced it. And I know that it's something that is important to you, and I wonder if you want to fill us in on what that is.
Sure.
And what your experience was with it.
Sure. Well, actually, quite a few years following the royal wedding, I went through a patch of time where my health just wasn't as good as it has been, and it slowly declined, really. For a few years, I was getting quite a few symptoms. For example, I'd have intense pain in my muscles, kind of shooting pain, particularly in my upper body, but I'd also get it in my legs and things as well. I would get migraines and headaches. I would also get quite full-on periods of fatigue as well, where I'd be for maybe a week not able to do much at all. I'd have to take a week off, and then I'd get back to living life at 100 mile an hour again. My lifestyle, of course, didn't really help as well, because I would put a lot of pressure on my body. I'd be traveling a lot. I'd be doing 3-day trips to Hong Kong. I'd be, you know, and my performing career, of course, requires a lot of adrenaline and flying high as a kite most of the time, you know, when you're sort of on and off stage. But, you know, it just came to really a climax in 2013, where unfortunately the pain had got so bad in my body that Chris, my husband, had to take me into A&E here in West London, where we live. And unfortunately I suffered a seizure, and that really was the lowest point, really, in terms of things. You know, my life just changed very dramatically, and I realised I couldn't carry on like this. I mean, I physically couldn't. My body was saying, it was screaming at me, you know, to stop. So I had to listen, and I was 27 at the time. It was really difficult to deal with that, particularly psychologically, having to stop, you know, and cancel concerts in my diary and tours we'd planned to, like, Russia and Abu Dhabi and things. And it was really difficult to feel like you're letting people down, you know, because people have booked you so many years in advance or months in advance. And so it was a really difficult time, but I had to then listen, you know, and the consultant signed me off and mentioned that I had chronic fatigue. And at the time, it didn't quite ring true to me, because I think I was in so much pain and things, I wasn't really registering. But my parents and Chris decided it would be best for me to be back in Wales, there recovering, because it's such a lovely environment. There's a lot of country there and greenery. And so I took the time, went back there, because I couldn't even feed myself. I didn't have the energy to even hold my arms up. That's kind of how bad it got. And I just didn't know if I'd ever play again. And you know, it just got to a point where there weren't many answers really about this chronic fatigue. So fortunately, we researched a bit on the internet, as in my mother did, and we literally found some information. And fast forwarding then over the next 18 months after that, we literally found three practitioners in the UK that really helped me as a team to get better. And it was a mixture of advice from, you know, sort of herbal medicine to nutritionalist advice to even chiropractic advice as well, which is fantastic at realigning your body. So there was a range of help there for me, but it was also private help, of course, that I was getting. So if anybody thinks maybe they've got a friend or possibly a colleague or anyone they know of that might have something similar to this or in that sort of family, definitely have a look at my website, clairejones.co.uk. There's a free fact sheet on there, and there's some bits there that hopefully should help explain what helped me, and that hopefully might help others. But really, on the CD on Royal Harpstrings, there's a lot of pieces there that I actually listened to when I was ill, particularly in that point where I couldn't do anything. And things like Ladies in Lavender was such a soothing piece to listen to, and it just really helped calm my body down. And so really, that's why some of those pieces have made their way onto this album. It's kind of a collection of what's really helped me throughout my life, really. So I really hope that kind of helps anybody that's listening that might have something similar.
Knowing that, of course, brings a deeper appreciation to the music on this recording. There's a therapeutic quality to it, also very relaxing and very nurturing as well, the music you've chosen for this release.
Thank you.
Harpist Claire Jones, whose latest release is called Royal Harpstrings. It's out now in the U.S. from Silver Screen Records. And you mentioned your website. We can learn a lot more there. That's clairejones.co.uk. And you're also on Twitter, right?
I am indeed. It's clairejones85. And I've also got a fan page on Facebook as well, clairejones.harpist.
Claire, thanks again so much for your time today, and congratulations on this latest recording.
Thank you so much for having me.